The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders, it's Keith Koo, and I just got back from an incredible innovation conference, TIE Inflect 2018. And I'm going to throw out some buzzwords: singularity, diadarity, gene editing, cryogenically frozen cells, artificial intelligence, and mental health. All these topics and more were covered at this conference. This wasn't just a medical conference, but for today's show, because there's such breakthrough medical technologies that are coming out, I thought I would spend today talking about that with you. So consensus is going on this week in New York, which happens to be what's considered the largest Ethereum-backed conference in the world. The CEO of FedEx, Fred Smith, actually talked about how blockchain is the next frontier for global supply chains. And I just mentioned this as blockchain continues to gain momentum, more than just Bitcoin, that there are actual use cases. This is also proven by the Seminole County, Florida. The tax collector actually says that they will start accepting Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash to pay for services such as property taxes, driver's licenses, ID cards, and tags and title registration. They say that this is to reduce the amount of inefficiency, bank transaction fees, and that is just, again, blockchain and other types of cryptocurrencies are going mainstream. IBM is going to use the Stellar platform instead of Ethereum, which is big news, for their crypto token, and that is a carbon credit-backed crypto token, so that if you are involved with the environment, what happens is companies who are considered polluters can buy carbon credits, but oftentimes people think that they can cheat the system. So using a blockchain-like platform like Stellar will enable this IBM solution to track when these gross polluters do take in their carbon credits that they can actually pay for them. And finally, thieves sucked out 400 million pesos in bank transfers. And this is a bunch of Mexican banks, including the second largest bank in that country. And people think it's an inside job just because of the amount of theft there was. So how it was done is that the thieves created phantom orders and wired funds back and forth to bogus accounts. And this raised a lot of flags, but it took a long time for it to be caught. And that's the news of the week. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. And for today's show, I'm going to report back on a conference I just attended, TIE Inflect 2018. Just a little background on the TIE organization. It's originally called TIE because it's the Indus Entrepreneurs Association. It started 25 years ago, but it's grown much larger than the name makes it to be. It now has 60 chapters around the world in 17 countries and has launched businesses worth in value of $75 billion. During this two-day conference, I was able to interview over 50 executives, people that I will have covered in future shows, people such as Dr. Vanila Singh, the Chief Medical Officer of the Department of Health and Human Services, Doug Merritt, the CEO of Splunk, Jay Chowdhury, the CEO of Zscaler, the largest IPO of 2018 so far, John Madison, the Chief Health Information Officer of Kaiser Permanente, who gave a phenomenal keynote on the advancement of medicine with emerging technologies, and in fact will be on at the end of our show. Inhi Chosa, who's the general manager of IBM Watson Customer Experience, and she's all about artificial intelligence. Many other C-level executives. This conference was really interesting in that there was 5,000 attendees, 230 speakers, and over 1,000 companies featured. So with that, today's show, I'm focusing mainly on medical breakthroughs that are coming out in the near future. As you will hear John Madison say later, he believes that there's a half a dozen or so companies that in the next 12 or 18 months are really going to show this power of emerging technologies in transforming human existence. So before that, I am now going to introduce an interview I had with Kristen Bertrand, who's the COO of an AI or artificial intelligence company called Care Experience, and they're transforming people's interactions with the healthcare providers. I'm joined today with Kristen Bertrand, COO of Care Experience. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
So artificial intelligence is everywhere. You have a very interesting company. Why don't you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so, artificial intelligence really kind of plays into everything I think that we do today, and more specifically in the field that our company is in, is healthcare. So our company, Care Experience, really leverages the voice of the patient to identify opportunities for healthcare organizations and providers to take action on things that matter most to the patients. Many times we think we know what the patient wants. We are guided to ask them specific questions around specific measures that we may get reimbursed on.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily what the patient wants. It may not be an issue the patient has. And we're really not truly listening to the patient, right? And when you can listen to the patient, you can identify opportunities, you can enhance their experience, enhance their care plan adherence, and that then turns into better outcomes.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. So how is Care Experience getting those analytics?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So patient feedback can come in from many different channels at many points of care, right? So whether it's at a clinic or a hospital or a call center who's taking in patient grievances, social media, we're getting bombarded with comments from all different places. And a lot of healthcare organizations now are hiring marketing people to assess that and look at it. But what about having a consolidated place to capture that feedback and be able to act real time?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Right. So what we do is we capture that feedback in different ways. One could be a kiosk in a clinic, completely anonymous unless the patient says, yes, I want to be contacted, and they enter their contact information. We could integrate with the registration system or the medical record, and we know who the patient is, and we can send a direct text or email asking them about their experience. We could ask them about social determinants of health, barriers to care. We can also apply patient feedback areas with nurse rounding. So if I'm a nurse at a bedside, a lot of hospitals have strategic initiatives around rounding up patients.
Yes.
So those are different forms in which we can collect feedback. Again, I may be a call center, so those are more surveys, but then there's open areas for a patient to provide feedback, right? It could be Yelp, it could be social media,
yes,
like Facebook, whatever it is, right? They can leave comments. It can also be calling into a call center. So by having a consolidated space for that data to come into, the way that we leverage AI and the way that it plays into it is that we integrate with IBM Watson to identify different buckets in which these patient concerns are coming in. So we may be asking about wait time, but maybe wait time is not an issue.
Right.
Maybe it's parking.
Yeah.
Maybe parking's an issue, right? And we need to identify that, and we're not asking that. And we're able to analyze that information through the use of AI by classifying those comments and by adding sentiment value to them, knowing whether or not a patient is a detractor, a promoter.
Yeah, no, I think this makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering even further beyond the use cases of healthcare, net promoter scores, as well as I come out of hardcore financial services, and I don't know about health regulation in this matter, but customer complaints is actually a regulated item in banks. It's be a perfect use case for your company.
Yeah, so it's funny you ask. Now, I'm not so sure if it's completely regulated per se, but when I say that providers, it's pay per performance, they actually have to turn in
their metrics.
Their metrics around patient satisfaction, identifying issues, and even resolving them.
Yep.
So our solution provides that. It's not just about collecting the data. It's not just about analyzing it. It's then further providing the ability for them to take action on that, close the loop, and see the analytics around the accountability. So it's a real end-to-end solution that allows providers to have a consolidated place to document that accountability.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, thanks again for explaining what Care Experience is doing. I'm joined by Kristen Bertrand, COO of Care Experience.
Thank you. I'd
love to hear more. So for more information, email us at info@svi.biz. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned. Our next interview will be with Dr. Armin Spira of WuXi NextCode. You're listening to Silicon Valley Insider. For more information, email us at info@svin.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, reporting back from the 2018 Titan Flex Conference. I was able to make a lot of interviews over that conference, and today's show is focused on several of the companies that have medical breakthrough technology. So in order to properly continue on with today's show, there's a lot of interesting concepts and technology for medical advancement. And so I thought what I should do is actually bring up the concept of techno-ethics or ethics and technology. And the reason why that's important is we're coming to a point as we listen to some of the interviews I'm about to have on things that sound questionable or scary for the layperson. And it's actually, for the ones I focused on today's show, there's some really cutting-edge, exciting technologies that are about to come through. But techno-ethics is this mashup of different disciplines. There are things like social science, behavioral analysis, mixed with artificial intelligence, machine learning. And so we're going to get into a lot of that later on in today's discussion. Whenever we hear about a breakthrough in technology, there oftentimes is resistance because there's just some things that people don't understand. And so we're going to hear things that I haven't heard before, like diodarity. Try looking that up on Google. You're not going to find anything. So with that, we're going to continue on with some of the interviews from the show. First up is Dr. Armin Spira, who is with WuXi NextCode, and they do personalized medicine. I'm joined by Dr. Armin Spira of WuXi NextCode, who was on a panel for personalized medicine. Dr. Spira, thanks for joining us.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be here.
So what are the things that you were covering on your panel?
So we were talking about personalized medicine, what that means for all of us who work in that space, what advances we have seen for healthcare because of personalized medicine, and what the trends are moving forward.
And what specifically for WuXi NextCode, what are some of the things that you're working on in this space?
So WuXi NextCode's mission is to improve human health by making the genome actionable. So we look at genomic variants, and we analyze what these different variants are and how they could potentially impact disease mechanisms, and then how that could help you decide on treatment regimes for the patients.
Okay. And then who generally are the folks buying your data sets?
Yeah, there's three different areas. One is pharma companies. Another one would be hospitals, because we also have tests, especially in the rare disease space in China. And then the other would be these large population genomics projects, where you look literally at population scale genomic differences.
Okay. And I think you were saying that the reach of this type, and the reach and the demand for this type of information must be huge.
Oh, it is, absolutely. I mean, our company, in fact, started out based on a company called Decode Genomics,
okay,
which is a project in Iceland, at all places, which was really the first population genomics scale project worldwide that was done in the early 2000s. It's now acquired by Amgen, that big data set. And it was basically 400,000 people whose genomes were all sequenced. And then you can find out what are the genomic variants in that population and, you know, can correlate it to disease records to figure
Absolutely.
Out how these variants contribute to disease. So,
yeah. No, it's fascinating, and it's so great to hear that we're able to apply these types of learnings off the genome and apply it in an actionable way. So once again, we're joined by Dr. Armin Spira of WuXi NextCode. And for more information, you can email us at info@svin.biz. Thank you, Dr. Armin.
All right. You're welcome.
So Dr. Spira's company is actually very exciting. It's the ability to analyze the human genome for variants, which means that they can identify the diseases that are caused at the gene level. And that is what leads us to the next interview, which is Dr. Drew Taylor from Toronto. Dr. Taylor's company, Acorn Labs, actually won the TIQuest, which is the number one award for the chapter in Toronto. And his company actually cryogenically freezes cells now and can save them later for literally rebooting your genome.
I'm joined by TyQuest Toronto winner, technology company called Acorn, Dr. Drew Taylor. And it's really interesting technology that you've gotten, Dr. Taylor. It's all about really editing genes?
Well, yeah, that's one of the capabilities. I mean, really what we're doing is trying to prepare people for the future of all of the kind of regenerative medicine strategies that are on the horizon. And that can be gene editing, that can be stem cell therapies, you know, CRISPR, which we've heard a lot about is a gene editing technique, CAR-T, and just general tissue engineering, that we really have the opportunity to take our own cells and use those cells to heal ourselves.
It sounds a little frightening, but also sounds really cool. So let's get into what is that process like? How does a person, if they're choosing to do this, what are the steps involved?
Yeah, well, right now it's actually pretty difficult steps. I mean, if you wanted to anticipate these things and preserve your younger cells and your disease-free cells down today, it's really a difficult thing to do because you have to go into a clinic, you have to have them extracted, you have to have them frozen down, and this entire process of walking you through that is extremely costly. What we've done is we've developed everything into a kit, and we spent a lot of time actually developing the technologies that are able to ship these cells viably through the mail. So we can send you a kit with our proprietary kit, and you can do a non-invasive cell collection in the comfort of your own home.
Okay.
Very easy, and ship the cells back to us. Well, they'll arrive viably through the mail, and it's all non-invasive. So we take those cells and that simple procedure and put them down into cryogenic storage for you. And in the future, you know, if, heaven forbid, something comes up where you do need access to those cells to treat yourself, you'll have access to not only the kind of older, damaged cells that you have today, but this younger population of cells that hasn't, you know, experienced all of those degeneration throughout age and also has not been exposed to the disease that will have those systemic effects on you today.
Not a really good analogy, but kind of like the seed lab up in the Arctic.
Yeah, you know what? It's very true. Yeah, we're tucking away. You know, that's why we called ourselves Acorn. We're tucking away part of you for the future.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting technology. I always love hearing these things that are possible and that will really be beneficial to society. So once again, I'm joined by Dr. Drew Taylor of Acorn. And they're the TyQuest Toronto winners. And we're again on Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. You can get more information by emailing us at info@svin.biz. Thanks a lot, Dr. Taylor.
Thanks so much, Keith. I really appreciate it.
So we can see with both companies, WuXi NextCode and Dr. Spura, and Acorn Labs with Dr. Taylor, that there are these transformative technologies that are coming out. One thing that Dr. Taylor and I had talked about off microphone was that his technology doesn't even require stem cells. They can actually potentially reboot into stem cells. So that's just another fantastic way of thinking and being innovative about health technology. This is all going to wrap into in our final two segments. We'll be talking with Dr. John Madison, who's the Chief Health Information Officer of Kaiser Permanente. And leading up to it, John is a fantastic keynote speaker, but he'll really blow your mind in all the things that he's talking about. So this is just a really good lead up into what Health Foundation like Kaiser is going to be doing in applying some of these technologies. I'm pleased to announce that Dr. Madison is going to be one of the keynote speakers at Tulip Conference 2018. In a previous show, I had talked about Tulip Mania and had the founders of Token Garage on to talk about their conference. If you're interested in blockchain beyond Bitcoin or Ethereum, but really how to safely get into crypto investments, how to actually build out blockchains, this is the conference for you. You can email us for more information at info@svin.biz. So don't go away. Before we have Dr. Madison, we first have Seth Norman, CTO of Teatros, an artificial intelligence mental health company. And we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. Today's show has been my readout from the TyInflect 2018 conference and focusing on just some of the medical companies that were participating. Last week, during the tech news segment, I had talked about how Niantic, the parent company of Pokemon Go, was about to launch a series of new products that would actually do augmented reality or AR mapping So back to you being the product and you giving free service, they're going to use you to map all the unknown parts of the world, but in 3D. So I thought it'd be helpful to revive some tips on how to keep you and your children safe using an app like Pokemon Go. So there's a few obvious things like watch where you're walking. There were a lot of stories of people getting hit by cars, running into objects, falling off of cliffs. And that's really not a joke. That is actually something that's really happened. Always remember to follow the rules. Don't break the law. And if you're financially conscious, check how much data your phone's actually using. And in your smart device, there should be a setting for a Pokemon Go app or for what Niantic's planning, the Harry Potter app. Make sure all that is the way you want it to be set up. Lastly, be sure to protect your data. Just as we found out with Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, Pokemon Go and other apps are really tied. You don't even know how many different applications are tied to everything you're doing. So think about it. Your GPS is on, your location tracking with that. If you're taking photos, your GPS is also saying your geolocation for the photo itself. Just be smart in anything you're doing with these applications. In an earlier segment, I was talking about the definition of technoethics, and that's because although the concepts have been around for years, with all of these technologies that are converging, and that's what Dr. John Madison, the Chief Health Information Officer from Kaiser, will be talking about in just a few minutes, questions come up, a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about what we're doing to adopt new technology. So earlier in the show, we had talked about genomics, the ability to edit genes, the ability to freeze our cells and thaw them out later to reboot ourselves. I'm now going to introduce a company called Teatros, which is an artificial intelligence mental health provider that's backed by UCSF. So Seth Norman, the CTO, met with me at this conference. I'm with Seth Norman, Chief Information Officer of Teatros, and Teatros is a finalist for the TIE 50 Award. So Seth, great having you here.
Thank you so much.
So Seth, this is really interesting, artificial intelligence for mental health.
That's right. That's sort of the you know, great dream in the sky is to apply machines and having them help us understand the inner workings of our brains in ways that, you know, we as humans don't really understand yet. Taking a more analytical approach to predicting what we may need help with.
So, you know, I had a show recently with an artificial intelligence company doing personality assessments. And it's phenomenal amount of attention it's getting in terms of people really understanding, because people are so afraid of AI, and especially with the Cambridge Analytica stuff, they're also worried about their data. Mm-hmm. What's your approach to how you're handling mental health?
Well, you know, a big thing is, if for whatever reason, people are afraid of their own mental health. It sounds scarier when, in reality, it's not so different than any other organ in your body. And so in the same way that a doctor would say, you know, of course, if you're already sick and overweight, they're going to ask you to lose weight and work out more. But even if you're healthy, they're going to say, keep working out and, you know, staying in shape. In the same way, we can apply our tools and say, you know, look, we're not giving you a diagnosis. We're not saying you're, you know, branding you as depressed or anxious or anything. We just want to help you, give you the tools so that you can keep your brain in shape in the same way that you would your physical health. So it's a much less scary, you know, accusatory stance of, oh, you need help with, you know, a mental illness, with a stigma, and more, you know, we want to help you build up your psychological resilience. And we can use the same tools and approaches that psychotherapists use, but deliver it in a way that's easy to absorb, you know, through your mobile device when you have time, in a way that's proactive and helpful for your mental health.
That's awesome. You're being backed by UCSF?
Yeah, we incubated at their 953 Indiana location. We're actually the only digital company that's incubated there. There's obviously a lot of biotech.
Yeah.
What has been wonderful is, as a digital health company that is trying to help human beings, and specifically, you know, in a clinical sense, to be near all those doctors, all those biologists, all those scientists, there's too much separation in my mind in a lot of ways of digital tools from the real science tools. And so it's nice to be close to the people who will use and understand our psychological benefits, even though they're not digital scientists or, you know, electronic engineers.
No, great. And is Teatros in trials, or is it actually being sold?
So we are being used in trials at Salesforce. We've used them in trials with the VA. And we've also used independently have identified veterans through Facebook to deliver some of our post-traumatic growth tools. So we've even sourced some of our own users. Really where we'd like to see ourselves going is helping entire health systems like the VA, corporate benefits programs like at Salesforce to help entire companies or health populations sort of figure out what help they need and then get it delivered through our artificial intelligence program.
Yeah, no, that's phenomenal. So Seth Norman, Chief Information Officer of Artificial Intelligence, well, mental health company, Teatros. Seth, I'd love to have you on the show.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much.
All right. So again, thanks.
So next up is John Madison, who I talked about earlier in the show. John is the Chief Health Information Officer at Kaiser Permanente. I have been around technology for over 2 decades, and when I met John, he is truly a thought leader when it comes to health sciences and technology. So just really excited to have him on board.
I'm really excited because I've got John Madison, who is the Chief Health Information Officer for Kaiser Permanente, an organization. I've been a lifelong Kaiser member, so I'm just really excited to have John here to talk about everything going on in health innovation and systems. So John, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
So John is a complex system integrator. He basically cares about everything tech, and this is the right conference for that. So John, you just came off the keynote. What was it like to be at Tyne Flickdisher?
Well, I think the title of the conference really says it all. Niels Bohr, the physicist, once said, "Predicting is really hard, especially when it's about the future." And one of the most difficult things about predicting the future of technology is not so much knowing what's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. And where is that inflection point? Where does a technology like blockchain really take off? When does a technology like chatbots become adapted to medical use so that it's pervasive in everything we do? And I believe that there are half a dozen exponential technologies that just now or within the next year are reaching that inflection point of going from a great idea and a prototype and a proof of concept to going to scale. And so the real inflection is happening almost concurrently with multiple different exponential technologies. And the thing that I find the most fascinating is how we bring about convergence of multiple technologies like blockchain and machine learning and genomics and microbiomics and the N of one studies, and looking at the intersection of the world of knowledge of health and wellness and disease with the world of information about an individual, the so-called N of one. What do we know about your genome? What do we know about your pharmacogenomics? What do we know about your lifestyle habits and your social determinants of health? What do we know about how your microbiome is conditioned in a way that may have already contributed to some form of disease, and how do we potentially reverse disease by farming, as Larry Smarr's term, by farming your microbiome with a healthier diet that leads to a more diverse microbiome, which then regulates your genome in a healthier way. So ultimately, bringing about the convergence of multiple technologies in order to create not just a longer lifespan, but a longer health span, so that we can preserve wellness and resilience and exercise prevention in ways that push disease so far out that you go your entire lifespan without experiencing serious illness. And we know that that's possible. It's been studied. The blue zones represent 5 communities in the world that were studied decades ago, where there's a very long health span associated with a very long lifespan.
Yes.
And it's not because of a multi-trillion-dollar healthcare system that those communities exist. It's because people are paying attention to their daily habits. So how do we take all these new technologies, understand that what is among the 4 principal elements of long health and lifespan is diet, exercise, regular sleeping, and social support systems and the resiliency that comes from those 4 together. So how do we know how to take the universe of knowledge about health and wellness and apply it to each individual with their unique genome and their unique microbiome and their unique set of circumstances so that we can reinforce those aspects of healthy living that are particularly important to them? So a lot of what's happening in today's, disease-focused world is we're focusing on personalized care of disease. Well, that's a little bit late. We need much more personalized care for health and wellness and resilience, and that science is just in its very early stages. But what we know is we're in the third generation now of AI.
Yes.
And the reason that this is it's for real for the first time is partially because of what most people attribute it to, and that is the processing speed of computing. But it's much more a result of having huge amounts of digital exhaust for all of us. So we have electronic health records. We have the entire genome sequence. We can sequence your microbiome. We can survey your social determinants of health. We can look at things on a digital substrate much more broadly. And when you pool that information and operate on it with machine learning, the machine is capable of grokking massive amounts of data and reaching useful insights into the human condition and human health and wellness in addition to disease, and that we can apply the machine learning to bring about the match between the universe of knowledge and the individual.
So that was the first half of Dr. Madison's interview with me. And just to summarize, Dr. Madison, who once you hear him and see him live in person, he's just a phenomenal speaker and thought leader. He had talked about how he believes that there's about half a dozen emerging technologies that in the next 12 to 18 months, coupled with other emerging technologies in a converged way, are going to just take off. And once applied, they're going to benefit humankind. So as a reminder, Dr. Madison will be a keynote at the 2018 TULIP Conference. For more information, you can go to tulipconf.com. I'm going to be an MC, and I'm actually very involved with the conference as well. When we wrap, we'll have our second part of Dr. Madison's interview with me, and he will make sure everyone's aware that he knows there's hope for humanity. The machines are not going to take over. He will talk about carbon-based thinking versus silicon thinking, and that cognitive bias actually exists in machines as well. If you need to reach me, I am available on LinkedIn, Keith Koo, Facebook, Keith Koo. And for any other information, or if you want to be on the show, email us at info@svin.biz. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. And today's show, we focused on medical technologies and breakthroughs that people think are coming in the next 12 to 18 months. Earlier, I had the first half of my interview with Dr. John Madison, who is the Chief Health Information Officer of Kaiser Permanente. He is a visionary in health and science. And now we're going to go continue on with the second half of his interview.
And then there's what I like to describe as meta-machine learning. And that is, so we've got all this information in the universe of knowledge. We've got all this information about you. And what are we going to do? Just like dump it into your skull and all of a sudden you do all the right things? No, it doesn't work that way. We're all creatures of habit. We need to spend a lot more time and energy on motivational science and behavioral economics and use this meta-machine learning or meta-AI to bridge between the universe of knowledge and the universe of what we know about a single individual. And I like to refer to, as opposed to the singularity is here, the dyadarity is here. And what I mean by the dyadarity is this human-machine interface between how we apply what we know to you specifically in a way that is not intruding into your thought process, into your workflow, but becomes much more naturally meshed between the human and the machine. So I believe that the ultimate goal of what we're trying to do is to create a behavioral symphony of wellness and to use a human-machine meshing and a dyadarity to really deliver the best results in ways that conform to my personal way of learning, from your personal way of learning. What motivates me and what motivates you? And so it's those human factors of how we receive and operate on information and how we translate that into healthy behaviors that will lead to resilience and that long lifestyle and that long lifespan and long health span.
So, John, I mean, that was a mouthful for sure. I'm so impressed because I think on our show we have a lot of companies about artificial intelligence and there's a lot of controversy about how it's being used.
Right.
I think you've just given humanity hope that technology can be good for them. They shouldn't just be listening to all the horror stories, and that there's real applications that are coming, and you said this, it's really exciting, in the next year or so, that will really transcend a lot of what people know today.
Absolutely, and so we need to put this in context. So I've spoken a lot about some of the concerns that people like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking,
yes,
and others have raised, most recently Sergey Brin, on some of the risks associated with AI and machine learning.
So Dr. Madison was referring to the fears that Elon Musk, Sergey Brin, and Stephen Hawking and others have around how artificial intelligence, unfettered, will take over humanity and actually be the cause of humanity's destruction. However, Dr. Madison actually has a slightly different view, and here's what he had to say.
What I'd like to call out is the fact that there is a huge literature already about cognitive bias. So the way humans think, I like to refer to as carbon thinking.
Of course.
And the way machine learning thinks is what I like to refer to as silicon thinking. If you look at the literature of intrinsic and inherent cognitive bias in carbon thinking, what we do as humans, and how poorly it's applied in healthcare today in general. So there are great textbooks written about cognitive bias in medical decision making, and yet there isn't a sufficient awareness and practice of managing against those cognitive biases just in the carbon-based thinking. What we're discovering in silicon-based thinking is there's a whole different set. So different materials, different substrates, different designs, different biases. There's two books written about the systematic bias of machine learning towards social inequity. Well, if we've neglected the science of cognitive bias in carbon thinking, what assures us that we're not going to also neglect the inherent bias of silicon-based thinking? And my view is that we need to have we can use machine learning to help expose and make transparent both the in silico thinking biases as well as the in carbon-based biases of the human mind. And when we expose them and make them more evident, we have at least the opportunity to preserve and protect social equity as well as avoid the pitfalls of both cognitive bias in carbon and the biases that are intrinsic to silicon thinking.
So, John, thanks again. I mean, I would love to actually dive into this deeper on my radio show, so I'd love to have you back.
I would be honored.
All right. So once again, we're joined by Dr. John Madison, Chief Health Information Officer at Kaiser Permanente, and we're at the Time Flight Conference. If you need more information, email us at info@svin.biz. Thanks again, John.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Dr. John Madison, CHIO of Kaiser Permanente, as well as all the other guests on today's show. It's just really heartwarming to think that there's these new breakthrough technologies that aren't scary, that aren't controversial, that are ethical in the medical field. So for more information, you can always email us at info@svn.biz. And specifically, if you like Dr. John Madison's talk, and again, he's a phenomenal speaker, he will be at the 2018 TULIP Conference June 7th and 8th in San Francisco. For more information on how to attend, go to tulipconf.com, TULIPCONF.com. And it's also going to help you learn more about blockchain. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.